This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. Barry wants to talk about trials. It's the happening thing at the moment.
It is the happening thing. I don't know what results are available at the moment. I did watch a little bit of Auckland. That was Auckland Northland. That was interesting. So they've got the team sorted out. They've got a couple of quite reasonable looking teams in the Open and the Seniors. I'm not too sure what's happening with the women. I didn't see that.
Did the cream rise to the top?
I don't know. That'll be a matter of opinion. Canterbury just had two teams trialling in the women's. And look, in general, the number of women that were trialling was way down this year. In all of the provinces, numbers were low. Looks like nobody wants to go and play in the new championships in Wellington.
The regionals, blooming heck.
Bit of a problem for NZ Bridge. They might have to think again next year.
Well, what else can you do, Barry? Are you saying, what's the point?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that if players are voting not to play in it, I now realise they're trying to make it more appealing to people. Seems like this idea is not being you know, looked at too kindly by the players.
Right.
So I don't know what they're going to do next year. Maybe they'll fly them all to the moon, Mariana, and have it there.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, good luck to NZ Bridge about what they're going to do about this. You don't really want to put the final nail in the coffin, though, of an event like this. It's been going on forever and a day. So maybe they just go and select it. You put your name in and say, yep, you're right. On you go. How do the up-and-comings come through?
I mean, most of the provinces are still having trials if they get enough numbers. So if the newbies want to play, they need to put their names down. Most provinces will hold a trial if they get the numbers.
That's the same thing. Waikato's picked a number 10. And if you put all the newbies, the up-and-comings or probables and possibles want to play, and you don't get to 10, you're never going to get selected.
It certainly didn't seem from the entries we got like a lot of new people that wanted to get selected. There were a few people entered. Most of them probably have been around a while, shall we say?
same old, yep.
Yeah, there weren't a whole lot of new players trying to get selected.
Yeah, that is a bit worrying.
You would think we might be able to get 10 in the intermediates, but no. I don't think we got close to 10.
Well, I can tell you the numbers are dropping everywhere because Rubber Bridge draws out and there's only 12 pairs entered in that one as well. So that's a dying thing again. I wasn't surprised that I didn't see your name in the mix.
Well, you never have. But I mean, I don't know with these things, whether NZ Bridge just chuck them all in the bin and try something else. It's really difficult, New Zealand Bridge. I actually sympathise with them. What are they going to do? Are they going to get rid of the championships? Are they going to get rid of the Rubber Bridge? And then going to do something different? And if they're going to do something different, what's it going to be?
Yeah. I think it's time for us to get Alan Morris on the show and ask him these questions because he'd be pulling his hair out or has been pulling his hair out.
So, by the way, Alan Morris was top qualifier in the Auckland Seniors.
Well done. Director, please.
Judge Judy is in session. It's the bailiff today.
He is Patrick.
It's a cold week and we're back with the bailiff.
Yeah, it seems to be the regular now. I'm looking to get promoted to judge soon.
Ooh, look at that.
Don't expect to get all the perks that they get. I was playing online Sunday night, Mariana, and the director, you know, renowned for his tolerance, it was the bailiff. He mentioned at some point that somebody said they'd claimed 5 times and nobody had accepted any of them. So what I'm asking the bailiff is this a common problem and is there a reason for it and what can be done about it?
This was different because it's on Bridge Base. And on Bridge Base, the rule for those tournaments is if your claim is rejected, that you just carry on playing it. Whereas on Real Bridge or on Proper Bridge, face-to-face, the rule is that you call the director and the director assesses the claim. So Bridge Base is a slightly different thing because there's a rule for playing on those tournaments created by the director, I might say, because it's all a bit different on Bridge Base. But for normal play, if someone claims that's the end of it, it used to be the end of it, it now is that if all 4 people involved, and that includes dummy, who agree to play on, then the director washes his hands of the whole thing and says, well, if all 4 of you want to play on without having called the director, I'm not interested if you call me back later. I don't care what you do. But the normal thing is that you call the director and ask the director to assess the claim. And, you know, that's what the director does. It's the way Bridge is normally played. So it couldn't have happened in any other tournament other than the Bridge-based tournament that I run on Sunday night. All other events, real Bridge and face-to-face Bridge, we have normal rules for claims. And the person who was annoyed about it, I don't know whether he was claiming a bit earlier than most people expected or not. I thought it was worth announcing to people, look, please, let's keep the game moving and accept the claim if it's good, rather than just being pig-headed about it. Some people just don't accept regardless, and that's the pain in the backside, isn't it?
There's a bit of a, I'm not saying it's an art form, but there's a bit of a knack to claiming. Is it possible that perhaps at least one or two of those claims are very clear?
Yeah, it's a really good idea to be clear what you say when you claim. Most importantly, mentioning any outstanding trumps. Things like saying drawing trumps is a great idea, or with very few exceptions, the director's going to assume that you'd forgotten about those trumps, because if there were trumps outstanding and you didn't mention them, gosh, it was so surprising. Even if you're a good player, I'm going to assume that you forgot about them, otherwise you would have mentioned them in your claim. And saying exactly how you're going to do it, even something like if you're claiming with sort of like 10 tricks to go, you know, you've only played 3 tricks, but you quite clearly you've got the last 10 tricks are all yours, just saying something like, I'll be careful with entries or something like that, it would be good enough. You wouldn't have to say, unblocking the king and the queen before I do this. When there is a dispute about it, the director comes to the table, the director's going to say, well, what was said when the claim was made? And that's not what you're saying now. If you just sort of like spread your hand because you think it's so obvious, and the director comes to the table and says, what was said when you claimed? And you start explaining how you're going to play it, the director's going to say, is that what you said when you claimed? Not what you can say now someone's disputing it, but what you said when you claimed.
The thing about all four players agreeing to play on, I mean, does that ever happen?
I do know that people have played on. I haven't checked to see whether or not Dunny agreed to that. It doesn't happen very often. At least it's better I can just simply say, well, you know, your fault. You know, if you're stupid enough to play on, I'm not interested anymore. But it used to be that the rule was that you weren't allowed to play on under any circumstances. And then the director had to try and figure out exactly what the situation was when the claim was made, and go back to it and say, well, I'm not interested in the play that happened afterwards because it was illegal, and try and establish the situation when the claim was made and then hear what was said when the claim was made. Any play after that was illegal. Now it's like, well, you know, you're not supposed to play on, but if you do, you do, and I'm not interested.
Usually when the director is at the table, trying to get all four players to agree on anything would be just about impossible.
In theory, if Dunny went outside for a smoke, you couldn't have agreed to play on. That would be a tricky one where I was called in three players at the table and they said they played on. Well, I'd have to take that into account, I guess, being the case. The rules say if all four players agree, and if Dummy wasn't there, then how all four players could agree.
If a dummy's not at the table, they're outside having a ciggy, they can hold up things and they can't claim. It's like, no, not having a bar of that.
They can claim. They can't agree to play on after a claim.
Five times. That's a bit of a mission.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe there would have been six if some of the others had got accepted, Mariana.
He was annoyed enough about it that he sent a message to me at the end of the tournament. Presumably, he had played before I got to the table, and then they'd refused, so he'd had to play it out. He was one of the last two or three tables, but there was somebody else still playing, so I didn't actually claim for him, which I can do on BBO.
Okay.
I think it's perhaps when you can see your hand and dummy's hand to think it's clear, and just show them your cards and claim because it looks obvious to you, but it sometimes takes a while for the defenders to realise exactly what...
Well, it can do. That's why something as simple as there's 10 tricks left and I've got 7 diamonds and 3 aces or something. I mean, most people talk a lot. When it comes to claim, suddenly every word is like gold and they don't want to say anything extra. They want to put their hand down and have everybody admire it without them having to say anything.
Admire it. Yeah, that sounds good.
I can remember a very good player claiming against us, claiming all the rest of the tricks, saying, oh, I've got this and that, and dummy's good. And my partner said, how are you going to get there? And he said, oh, one off.
Good try.
No, it wasn't.
it happens to everybody sometime that they get confused about something.
Righty.
Okay. Thanks, Patrick.
Okay.
News, news, and more news, Barry.
Yeah, I'm excited about this latest bit.
You are?
I am. I think it'll be great. We're talking about the new venue for Congress from 2025.
Good old Palmy, eh?
Go Palmy to Palmy.
Conference and Function Centre. Here we come.
I like Palmy, and that venue looks great. It looks just perfect for what we want. Probably going to be half the price of some of the ones we look at too, because it's in Palmy. I'm quite happy with Palmerston. It's a good spot. It's central. It's actually relatively easy to get to.
And you can walk to everything. Yeah, where the situation in Main Street is, you can just walk wherever you like. It'll be great.
It looks like a great playing venue. Apparently, NZ Bridge is going to have like the whole building. There's bars. We're back to having free tea, coffee and water. And I don't even drink coffee, Mariana, as you know.
Nor do I.
This is it's cost effective, and I believe it would be, and with the opportunity to seek council funding and support. Direct flights from Auckland, Christchurch and even Nelson on Origin Air. Yeah, I mean, I think it's an ideal venue. I think it'll be great. I don't want to say too much about the Mount Maunganui one, but it left a little bit to be desired, didn't it? I know it's not easy to find the perfect venue, but this is going to be pretty close.
It looks great. Congratulations, New Zealand Bridge. It looks like a fantastic venue. Yeah.
Hats off to Bridget Hannaway and the other people that are involved in this. I know they go to a huge amount of work to try and look at all the possibles. Everybody's got a suggestion as to where they can have it, everywhere from Invercargill to Russell and in between.
I think it'd be great. Like I said, congratulations, NZ Bridge. It looks really awesome. Now, just one thing. What do you think about the change date, Barry? Is that going to matter?
Well, it will, because I know some people, they always like to have it in the school holidays, obviously teachers and people like that. Of course, that means that affects the cost, I guess. When you have it in the school holidays, you're going to up to peak times and it's going to be pretty expensive for everyone else. I'm happy with the time change, 8th to the 15th of November, 2025.
Yep, we've made a good decision there too. What about Guy Fawkes? Let off a couple of crackers, you think?
Yeah, could be. Hey, the good thing is I'll have inseminated all my cows by the 8th of November.
It's going to set you right down to the ground, isn't it?
I know that's not relevant, but that's what I'm going to do.
No, it looks awesome. In terms of accommodation, there's plenty of it. They've listed it all, but it'd be great getting back to my old stomping grounds.
And it'll all be reasonably priced, the accommodation. Palmy's going to be reasonable.
And the Distinction Hotel is just a couple of walks away, and we enjoyed a whole lot of little mini events there.
We are going to try and get somebody on the show, maybe Ellen Morris, maybe Bridget, whoever, and have them tell us all about it.
Yep. So we'll see if we can bring you more info. And
maybe they can tell you how much for a glass of red.
I wonder if it would be like Hamilton today and it was complimentary. Don't think so. Okay.
Looking forward to it. They've done really well.
Agree. And as promised, here is the final section with Peter Hollins on playing reverses.
When you have 12 to 15 points, what you want to do is you want to open your longest suit, highest of 2 5-card suits if you've got it, and then you want to rebid the cheaper option of the suit you've already opened or your other suit. So they're the main choices that you want to do. And this will always prevent you from reversing with 12 to 15 points. Now, you might be thinking, well, doesn't this show 6 diamonds? Now, it doesn't. It shows a minimum unbalanced hand. And the options that you can have for unbalanced hands is, yes, you could have a single suited hand, and this would show 6. But you also have the hand that couldn't reverse. You could have 5 diamonds and 4 hearts. Now, I do want to clarify, an easy way to spot, does it something show 6 or not here? It's very similar. But if we backtrack, an easy way to see if it shows 6 or not, it all comes down to, did the responder skip over any suits? And here, because 1 heart is just above 1 diamond, they haven't skipped over any suits. So there is no hand which the opener can't bid because they can't reverse. So in this case, if they had 5 diamonds and 4 spades, great, they could bid 1 spade here. Or if they had 5 diamonds and 4 clubs, great, they could bid 2 clubs. These still aren't reverses, they're below 2 diamonds. If they've got 5 diamonds and 4 hearts, great, they can go ahead and bid 2 hearts. So any 2-suited hand, they can always show their other suit, because here, 2 hearts is supporting partner, not a reverse. You can bid all your suits. So when you bid 2 diamonds in this case, you are showing six. In the first case, when it went to one spade, and now if we go through our options, if opener has five diamonds and four spades, great, we can bid two spades. If opener has five diamonds and four clubs, they can bid two clubs. If they have five diamonds and four hearts, they can't bid that. And that's a hand that fits into the let's bid the cheaper of our options. So that's what you do with your minimum two suited hands and why it doesn't always show six and how you can actually check for that. One other thing that I wanted to touch on here is sometimes I see people with like a 5-5 shape and a hand with 16 points. And they're like, I can reverse. I want to reverse. Now, this isn't what you should be doing. Reverses are really there to limit you escalating the option too high, putting that responder into a really awkward spot. Yeah, if the option just starts one diamond and then you bid two clubs, the responder's in a great spot. This auction's set up really well. If opener has 16 points, they haven't shown it yet, but you don't need to rush to do it. You really want to think of reverses as a way to limit escalating the auction when you can't handle it. And the auctions don't actually pan out too well. So you want the compensating points to hopefully mitigate it. This auction like this, which isn't a reverse, really easy to navigate for both parties. So these are my main thoughts on reverses. If you've made it this far, you've done great. You've gotten everything you wanted to know. The final thing that I wanted to touch on is one potential convention that you can actually play after a reverse, and that's blackout. So here, after you go a diamond, a spade, two hearts, there is a convention called blackout, which is basically just swapping fourth suit forcing with this blackout bid. So when you reverse, you're already starting to escalate the auction. You got 16 or more points and six here. If the responder's sort of got a good eight or more points, you probably want to be in a game contract. If that's the case, you're frequently going to end up in game. You want to have as many game forcing bids as possible. And this is where blackout comes into it. If your only game forcing bid was fourth suit forcing, this auction gets really messy in an already sort of escalated awkward spot. So what blackout does is it changes the meaning of either two no trumps or fourth suit forcing, whichever is the cheapest bid, to instead say, partner, no, I'm weak. I actually want to try and stop. I've got eight or less points, bad 8 points. So here, two no trumps would say, I've got a bad hand. Let's try and stop in a part score if you don't have anything extra. And the benefit of doing this is it frees up auctions like bidding three diamonds to be game forcing, which can be really powerful for trying to investigate slams. So blackout was the cheaper of two no trumps or fourth suit forcings. Another way of playing blackout that I personally like, that it's growing up a bit in popularity, is that after the reverse, it's just the next available bid is the blackout. Food for thought there. Hope this clears up what reverses actually are. If you're just learning them, don't worry about that blackout stuff just at the end. I just wanted to add that in for completeness. And once you're familiar with reverses, you can come revisit this, give it an idea of if you want to do it. But hopefully this clears up why we need reverses to prevent responder getting into these really awkward spots where you don't have the points for it, what they actually show and how you can actually spot them. And we'll see you next time.
I've got a question about when do you think would be the right time for an intermediate player to start swapping systems? Wants to progress a little bit, but first of all, you've got to find a partner that also wants to do it the same. But when do you think is a good time for, I guess, any player to start looking at another system if ACOL's not doing it for you? And what's the change to? The trend is 2-1. When are we going to start teaching that? Would you teach 2-1?
I don't know whether there is a trend to 2-1. There's a few players playing it in New Zealand, but I wouldn't say that it was overwhelming. There's a lot of playing a strong no trump and five card majors.
So when do you think is a good time?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I don't know. Is the answer? I don't know when's a good time. I mean, the trouble is you, no matter what system you play, you're never going to play it perfectly. I don't think swapping from one system to another is a particularly good idea. It's not a system that's going to get you there. What's going to get you there is forming a partnership, being on what you play and sticking to it and knowing your system and getting there. I think in general, if you have got a partner that you're working at getting better with, there'll usually be a reasonably strong player at your club. If you approach them, I think most of them would be happy to help. If you said, look, could you take a look at our system and see if think there's anything in there that we should think about, or whether we should chuck it out, or whether we should change it.
All right. So let's just say I hand you my system card and you're looking through it. What would be one of the things that you would recommend chucking out?
Most of it. No, seriously, I just think in a lot of cases, there's a lot of gadgets that people just love to play. It's a tough one, Maria, because some people just love to play gadgets. That's what they live for. And far be it from me to stop them.
Yeah.
But there are no gadgets that are going to get you over the line, I don't believe. It's more about judgment, defending well, playing your hands well, that sort of stuff. Just some base principles more than gadgets. You know, doubles a takeout up to whatever. Yeah, all that sort of stuff. Not really gadgets. It's just basic bridge that seems like common sense. What you think's common sense and what your new partner thinks common sense can be two totally different things sometimes. It's a tough thing forming a partnership and sticking with it. And it's still easy to get maybe a little bit annoyed with how things are going. Don't chuck the baby out with the bathwater, and don't get rid of that partner for a new one, or don't get rid of that system for a new one. Just think sometimes you need to put some work in.
Yeah, you do. Get up and improve their bridge. Know your system inside out.
I'll bet you that the people that think that a new system would be just the bee's knees probably haven't learned the old one properly.
Yeah, guarantee that would be correct. Okay. Are you tipping this week?
Two for the price of one.
Oh, my goodness. Watch out.
One of them was actually from Andrew Robson, but I mean, it's something that I've said before. And the title of it is One Down is Good Bridge.
One Down is Good Bridge.
Absolutely. And what he's talking about is the same old, same old. If it goes one heart, pass, two hearts, pass, pass to you, don't let them play there. Bid something. Double for takeout, or bid, if you've got a spade suit, bid that. And if you go one off, it'll be a better result than having them make two hearts. And on a good day, you'll push them to three hearts and you might have a chance of beating that.
Yeah.
Letting the opponents play one heart, pass, two hearts, pass, pass, pass is just bad bridge. You're not going to get good results that way.
Regardless of what system you play.
Absolutely. It's nothing to do with what system you play. It's about letting the opponents play exactly where they want to.
Oh, I wonder how often it comes up.
Every session you play, I would suggest, Mariana.
Yeah.
Every session.
Oh, I just wanted to bid my suit, but... Oh,
and he had an 8 count, and whatever. Hey, occasionally you'll be wrong. They'll double you, and you'll go for telephone numbers. It's only one board.
Only one board. Yeah, you're right. I'm going to make a special note of when that happens tomorrow. That's called a Barry Jones bid.
It's called balancing. Just be a little bit careful. Really, mainly when they've agreed a suit. You know, if it's gone a spade pass, a no trump pass, two diamonds pass, two spades, pass, pass, pass. They probably haven't got a fit, and they're playing in two spades. It's quite dangerous to bid there, because if you decide to bid your clubs or your hearts, quite likely the person that bid a no trump could have four or five of them and didn't have enough points to bid them. So that's a dangerous option. But when it goes one diamond, pass, two diamonds, pass, pass to you, it's safe to come in. Or relatively safe to come in. They've got a fit. They're limited. If they've got a fit, you've probably got a fit.
Right.
Not always. Yeah. But most times when they've got a fit, you've got a fit. All you got to do is find it. You're doubling that situation with a lot less than you normally would. So if it goes one diamond and you're 4-4-1-4 shape, say, four spades, four hearts, singleton diamond and four clubs, you've only got 8 points, not quite enough to double. And then it goes two diamonds, pass, pass to you. Now's the time to be in. Partner knows that you haven't got an opening hand because you didn't double the first time, partner's not going to get too carried away. One of the rules about this sort of thing is if you're going to start trying to push the opponents up one in this situation, you've got to have a partner who is not going to take you too seriously. So they're not going to punish you for trying to push them up one. They're not going to keep on bidding after you've doubled, but they know that you're only doing it because you don't want to let them play two hearts because Andrew Robson said so.
We'll have emails to Mr. Robson.
Don't send them to us. It's not our fault. Mariana asked for a tip and I gave you one.
Yeah, that makes good sense. Two for the price of one?
Absolutely. I was wondering when you were going to ask for the second one. Funnily enough, that hand that I just gave you, the 4-4-1, that is the one that, of course, that we've talked about, the Anna Kournikova hand. For those that don't remember, way back in the day, we called the 4-4-1s an Anna Kournikova hand. Always look good, but seldom win. was a particularly good-looking tennis player, but she didn't win that often. So the 444 ones are awkward hands. I'm not saying you shouldn't open them. I mean, you might have a 14 count. You've got to open them. The question is, how do you bid these things? And the answer is, you're going to lie, Mariana. No matter what you bid, you're going to lie. If you decide to open a diamond and bid two clubs showing 5-4 when you're only 4-4, or if you rebid no trumps with a singleton, whatever you do, you're going to lie. So when you pick up the 444 one hand, think, excellent, I'm going to lie.
I'm writing this down. Excellent. License to lie.
A license to lie. 444 one. I think these hands are a little easier to handle if you're playing a strong no trump, because you can rebid no trumps at whatever level without promising the world's fair. You know, you're not promising 15-17 or. But you do have to agree with partner that you can rebid no trumps with a singleton.
Right.
If you open a suit and your partner bids, and you've got a singleton spade and partner bids a spade, you can rebid one no trump. A lot of people would open a diamond and rebid two clubs. They're showing five diamonds and four clubs because they think that's a better lie. I think it's easier to just rebid no trumps with a singleton. And the responder never rebids a five-card suit. They need at least six to rebid them. And I think that's a good policy anyway. Even if I was not playing that, I still wouldn't rebid a five-card suit. You know what I feel about rebidding five-card suits, don't you? You've heard me going on about this, that anybody that rebids a five-card suit should be hung, drawn, and quartered.
Does that lean add a little bit more weight to potentially opening up one no trump, 12 to 14? May have with an a single odd shape.
It depends what your suits are. If one of your suits is spades, it's not so bad, is it? Because you can open a minor, and if partner bids the next thing up, you can rebid spades. Partner will probably think you've got five of the minor rather than four, but hey, you sometimes will be 4-4. I'm not recommending this, but if you've got an awkward hand, sometimes it just is easier to open a no trump with 12 to 14 than 444 one shape. Because we've already decided we were going to lie when we picked it up. We might as well start out with it.
If you do it more than once, though, Judge Julie says that you've got to say, partner has done this previously and opened it up and could possibly have a 444 one.
But that just means when you announce it, okay, 12 to 14 could be off shape.
There you go. Yeah. We're going to continue having this little discussion about awkward hands next week. Stay tuned. Happy bridge, everybody.
Bye, bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.